It is the season again of what is considered the most popular TV show in the world, and that's American Idol. You know, it is a singing contest involving thousands of auditions until it narrows down to the final winner, who is voted by the American public, and invariably votes in this contest always have more than in any presidential contest in America. Eh, pinapakita lang yan, talagang popular ito. Now, I watch it, and my favorite stage is the audition stage. Because there you see people try out their singing before a panel of judges. And it never fails to amaze me that there are those who honestly believe that they are it. That is, they are the next American Idol. And when they begin to sing, I imagine perhaps even their mother would struggle listening to it. Yung klase ng awit na siguro pati nanay nila mahirapang makinig. And I think it is such a lesson in utterly misguided self-confidence. They often make a fool of themselves. There was this contestant who probably thought the only way he could make an impression, he was a male, and yet the only way he thought he could make an impression was to wear a bikini before the judges, and the effect was the judges walked out. And I think deservingly so. Well, at least that is just the result. They provide some welcome, if comic, relief for the day. But misguided self-confidence in matters of life and eternity is not something to be laughed at. Hindi pwedeng pagtawanan yung kumpiyansa sa sarili na may kinalaman sa buhay at sa pangwalang hanggan, sapagkat ang resulta niyan, ang kahihinatnan niyan ay kapahamakang walang hanggan. And therefore, we must realize where our confidence must be laid upon. It is almost trite to say, but it is important to know that our confidence must be in God as the Lord of our life, and we need to periodically refresh ourselves in the right thoughts of who our God is. And our series on Micah is revealing to us a prophet whose burden is contained in his very name. Yung pangalan ni Micah, ang kahulugan ay sino ang katulad ng Panginoon. At yan ang gusto niyang ipahayag sa kanyang henerasyon, na tinatawag niya ang kanyang henerasyon na muling panariwain yung kanilang pagkilala kung sino si Yahweh. Siya bilang tunay na Diyos ay wala siyang katulad. And towards the end of his book, you have this question explicitly stated, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity?" And so the burden of the prophet Micah is to reveal to his generation that there is no one like the Lord. He was a prophet in the same period that Isaiah was, and at the same time, they ministered in the same region of the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, Micah is one of the easiest books of the Bible to divide because you have the keyword here. Kaya tatlong bahagi itong Micah na tinitingnan natin. Each section begins with the invitation to hear. 1-2 is the first section, 3-1 is the next section, and we are now coming to the last section of this, which will take us this Sunday until the remaining Sundays of the month of March. Each section is full of threats of God's judgment, yet each section ends with a note of hope and promise. So itong pinaghahalo ni Micah sa kanyang propesiya, ang banta ng paghatol at parusa ng Diyos sa nagkakasalang bayan, subalit sa bawat konklusyon ng bawat bahagi ay yung pangako ng Diyos kung paanong pakikilusin niya ang kanyang biyaya upang tipunin muli itong bayan na kanyang ikakalat upang sila ay maging kanyang tunay na bayan. And each section is trying to demonstrate the incomparability of God, that God is not like anyone. And so we find here how the Lord puts to account both the nation and their human leaders. And the central substance of the prophecy is the promise of a coming deliverer. Nakita natin yung nung nakaraang linggo na anuman yung mga banta ng paghahatol, may ginagawa, may plano ang Diyos ng katubusan, at ito ay nakasentro sa darating na manunubos. And while to Micah, that promise was future, to us, it is fulfillment. And therefore to us, it is of much more important realization, yung natupad na, yung pangako na kay Micah ay panghinaharap pa sa ating ngayon sapagkat dumating na ang Panginoong Hesukristo ay katotohanan na, natupad na. Kaya kung ano yung sinasabi ni Micah na dapat totoo sa bayan dahilan sa pangakong hinaharap, tayo man ay dapat totoo sa atin dahil sa natupad na na nakalipas. Because of the fulfilled past, as far as Christ is concerned, the more it should be true to us. And so as we come to the last section is a call by the prophet on what lifestyle God's people should live in the light of His message, in the light of the promise of a coming deliverer. This should be the lifestyle of God's people. And if that was true, again, I emphasize, if that was true to the people of Micah, to whom the promise was future, the more it should be true to us, to whom the promise has been fulfilled in Christ. I invite you now to turn your Bibles to Micah chapter 6. I hope you have read the whole chapter during your break time. We will just read verses 1 to 8, and we will be concentrating on verse 8. Micah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a complaint against His people, and He will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse 8, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Now, what strikes you when you read this section is the combination on the one hand of God pleading, yung nagsusumamo ang Diyos, sinasabi niya, O bayan ko, O my people, and He gives them reasons why they should respond to His word after all the goodness that He has shown them in the past, in history, how He has released them from Egypt, how He has preserved them against threats and enemies. Dahil sa mga ginawang yun ng Diyos, sinasabi niya, bayan, bakit hindi ka magpakatapat sa Panginoon? It is a plea from the perspective of how good God has been to them. But on the other hand, there is the requiring, you better do this or God is going to punish you. It is accountability. Now you see, when it comes to the lifestyle of God's people, sometimes what works is pleading. You see how good God has been, and you respond to the goodness of God. But on the other hand, sometimes what works is the requiring. What works is the command, the accountability. You better do this or God is going to be faithful in the threats and punishment of the covenant. So we owe it to Him who has been so good to us. It's a plea, but we must do it for Him who requires it of us. It is requirement. It is accountability. Now, what is it that God is both pleading and requiring of His people? Ano ba itong ipinagsusumamo ng Diyos at gayon din kanyang iniuutos sa kanyang bayan na dapat nilang gawin batay sa tipan na kanyang ipinagkatipan sa kanila? Well, verse 8 is one of those verses in the Bible that give an excellent summary of the standard of life. Marami tayo niyan sa Bagong Tipan, also in the Old Testament, and Micah 6:8 is one of those verses that gives us an excellent and very succinct summary of the standard of living God's people should conduct. Ano yung pamantayan ng pamumuhay ng tao ng Diyos? At ito ang napakagandang pagbubuod. And what we have here is again, the Lord showing how different He is from the rest of the idols, from all the idols rather, based on the lifestyle He requires of His people. And that is my message, which will take us both today and to next Sunday. No one is like the Lord in insisting the lifestyle He expects of His people. No one is like the Lord in insisting the lifestyle He expects of His people. Walang katulad ang Panginoon sa Kanyang inaasahang pamumuhay sa Kanyang mga tao. Yung mga Diyos-Diyosan at yung mga sinasambang Diyos na mga pagano ay mga matampuhing mga Diyos o mga kapritsosong mga Diyos at Diyosa. At kung babasahin mo yung mga kwento nila, ako'y mahilig magbasa ng mga mythology because of I want to know the culture and thinking of the people in the past. But one thing that will impress you about their stories is how changeable their gods and goddesses are. There's no consistency. What they expect of some of their subjects, they would not expect of others. Matampuhin, mabugnutin, at iba't iba pang mga mahihinang karakter na mga Diyos. Ngunit hindi ganyan ang Panginoon, hindi ganyan si Yahweh. Kapag meron siyang inasahan sa kanyang bayan, ito yung talagang kanyang inaasahan at ipinag-uutos na dapat mangyari sa kanyang bayan. So no one is like the Lord in insisting the lifestyle He expects of His people. It is not an option. It comes to us sometimes as a matter of plea, and sometimes it comes as a matter of command. But this is what God expects. But now, we ask the question, what is it that God expects of His people? As I've said, verse 8 gives us an excellent summary of that, and we will follow the order of this. The first two has to do with manward, and the next or the third is something to do with our Godward character. And for this afternoon, I will just confine myself to the lifestyle of God's people with men, and God willing, next Lord's Day, the lifestyle of God's people before God. So what is it that God expects of the lifestyle of His people with men? Anong inaasahang pamumuhay ng mga tao ng Diyos kasama ng kapwa-tao? Well, take note of these words. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you. Now again, you see their plea, what is good, and command, what the Lord requires. It is both a plea and it is a requirement. Now what is it? Do justly and to love mercy. As far as men are concerned, inaasahan sa atin, ang pamantayan natin, ay ang maging makatarungan at ang maging mahabagin. In some translations, mercy is translated as kindness, but it has the same sense. Now, this really simplifies for us the measure that we need to live by in dealing with our fellow men. I guarantee you, this is something, if we take seriously, this is something you will find very practical on a day-to-day basis. Sa pang-araw-araw nating pakikitungo sa mga tao, ang dalawang issue, dalawang usapin na laging tatambad sa atin ay yung usapin ng katarungan at kahabagan. Or in other words, having to do with right and having to do with need. Those are the two things we always need to balance in dealing with our fellow men. Respecting their right, respecting what is right, and responsive to their need. And those are the two things involved in justice and mercy. We find ourselves constantly challenged which one to take into account. What is right or what is need? Justice and mercy. Now we do well to look at this separately or in conjunction. First of all, justice. Isang pamantayan ng mananampalataya sa kanyang pakikitungo sa kapwa ay katarungan. Sa katarungan, ang tinutukoy natin dito ay yung nararapat. God's people must treat their fellow men consistent with what is right. But what is right? What is right, as far as the believer is concerned, is what is according to God's law. Ano yung sinasabi ng batas ng Diyos? At nung panahon ni Micah, napakarami niyang dinetalye sa ating aklat na pinag-aaralan ng mga kawalang katarungan ng mga tao sa kanilang kapwa, lalo na yung mga may kapangyarihan. Pakinggan niyo yung sinabi niya, 2 verse 2, they covet fields and take them by violence. Also houses, and they seize them. So they oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. So those who exercise power are unjust. They oppress the weak. Ayan yung dinitalye ni Micah na kawalang katarungan ng kanyang panahon. And when we talk of justice, we are talking about what is right. But as far as the Christian is concerned, what is right is what is defined by the law of God. Now, it is unfortunate that the present concept of justice has confined itself almost to the concept of human rights. Now, we believe in the concept of human rights. In fact, history bears out the fact that Christianity has much to do with the conception of human rights. Naniniwala tayo sa karapatang pantao. But as far as we believe, while there is the principle of human rights, what comes first is simply the concept of what is right. Bago yung karapatang pantao, meron tayong konsepto ng ano yung dapat, ano yung wasto, ano yung matuwid. Remember Abraham when he was told of the plan of God to punish Sodom and Gomorrah? This concept was what came to his mind in Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Hindi ba't ang hukom ng buong mundo ay gagawa ng matuwid? The prospect of punishing Sodom was to Abraham something that should be conceived of in terms of what is right. And because we have a standard in God's law to judge what is right, we can stand for what is right. And this is where the Christian principle will be challenged often. For you see, the idea today is what is right is what the majority says is right. But the Christian will sometimes have to stand against the majority because he knows what the law of God says. Or sometimes even stand our ground to defy the injustice of the powerful ones. In a very real sense, we can say that Christians who stand by their principles will both be the most submissive to those in power, yet at the same time ready to be defiant of those in power. Most submissive, ready to be defiant of those in power who abuse their authority for injustice. And I say this as one who studies history. This has been proven time and again in history, where biblical values defined for Christians what is right, no matter what the majority stands for, or no matter what the authorities say must be, Christians stood their ground. There's this early case in the 4th century when an emperor in Milan, Theodosius, and in fact he was a very powerful emperor, so that history grants to him the title the Great, Theodosius the Great. When Theodosius the Great, in the name of Christianity, had initiated a massacre of a place, the bishop or elder or pastor of Milan rebuked him publicly. And when he was unrepentant, excommunicated him. And sometimes history books will reveal this as a political power play. It was not. The bishop or elder or pastor of Milan then was Ambrose. And he would not countenance even the act of a powerful until Theodosius repented. And we see this fact that biblical values define the Christian position, and because of that, they have influenced many acts of justice as well as documents of justice. When Thomas Jefferson drafted the very influential Declaration of Independence in 1776, he borrowed biblical concepts such as that God created all men equal. Eh, hiniram niya yan sa pagtuturo ng salita ng Diyos. When much of the mainstream church in Germany kept silent during the Nazi abuses of the Jews, it was some evangelical pastors led by Dietrich Bonhoeffer who led a defiance of Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler was very sore at Bonhoeffer. He had him imprisoned, and when the war was already lost by an outburst of anger, he had Bonhoeffer executed. But it was evangelical pastors who stood their ground when the mainstream church, in fact, even the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church, had treaties of agreement with the Nazi administration. All I'm saying is that this Christian conviction of a higher right than human rules and policies has led to acts and conviction of justice. This Christian conviction has led to the freedom of slaves, equal treatment of women, civil liberty for the black people of America and South Africa. And one of my thrills when I read history is to see Christian conviction in action on behalf of justice. Now, we can all do well read about these things in history and fail to realize that there are issues of justice in our individual lives and relations day by day. And my challenge to you is have a sense of what is right, what is just in your day-to-day life and relations. Be a counterforce to injustice in human relations. In the context of Micah, he warns against the orientation to ceremonial religion that forgets justice. Sinabi niya rito, "With what shall I come before the Lord? And bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings?" Ang sinasabi niya rito, yung mga taong ang mentalidad ay handang-handa pagdating sa mga seremonya ng templo, handa sila sa mga hain, mga handog, hindi sila magkukulang sa mga ritual. Samantalang sa kanilang mga pakikitungo sa kapwa ay nandoon ang mga injustisya, ang kawalan ng katarungan. They are satisfied in their religious exercises while issues of injustice stare them to the face. And brethren, that remains the temptation of Christians today, to be flawless in church rituals while injustice stares them in their relations. Perhaps in your employment, and God puts His people to account, even in the conduct of their commerce. Listen to 6 verse 11. "Shall I count pure those with a wicked scales and with a bag of deceitful weights?" Yun daw may mga madayang timbangan at yung mga gumagamit sila ng weights noon para sa kanilang timbangan ay magagaling mga Pilipino rin. Pero ang punto ay ginagawa kung tayo may ganyang bagay at maganda yung ating ritual sa simbahan, ngunit may mga ganyan tayong mga bagay sa ating trabaho. God here says, "I don't count that pure. You think you have offered to God the songs of the worship service and you have given to Him tithes and offerings and sat down through the service. Is that pure? Is that enough when there are issues of injustice that stare you?" And this particularly has something to do with those of us who are stewards of power. How do you wield that power as it impinges on the small? One of the greatest, many say the greatest of the American presidents was Abraham Lincoln. And yet he was the one most challenged when he had to make the decision that others deferred because of lack of political will. Abraham Lincoln decided to emancipate the slaves at a time that it was controversial. Pero siyang nagdesisyon na palayain ang mga alipin na dahil lang sila ay kinidnap sa Africa at dahil sila ay itim, eh agad tinuring na silang mababang uri at alipin lang dahil lang sa kanilang itim na balat. Baka kung ako'y nabuhay noon, ako'y alipin. Pero ang punto rito ay si Lincoln ang nanindigan. In fact, Lincoln was such a principled president. One of the anecdotes about Lincoln was when he asked for a cabinet vote on an issue. Almost every cabinet member was giving the vote, nay, 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 nay. And then Lincoln turned to vote. He said, I won. He's the president. And that shows how he was very much willing to take a position even against the odds. When he took the decision to emancipate the slaves, he said this, "Let us have faith that right makes might. And in that faith, let us to the end dare to do our duty as we understand it." This decision of Lincoln cost him his life when he was assassinated. But there's the man who understood justice, not only understood it, but acted on it. Not only acted on it, but sacrificed for it. Now, what do you and me do in issues of justice today? Perhaps there's one issue in your life, in your relations, in your work that is staring you in the face. And we are told here by way of plea and command, you know what God expects of you. Do justice. Then secondly, as far as dealing with fellow men is concerned, love mercy or kindness. Here we are being told that God's people must treat their fellow men responsive to their needs. Yung sa una, respectful of what is right, justice. But mercy means responsive to their needs. And again, Micah exposes the ugliness of unkindness and insensitivity to the needy that prevailed in his time. Listen to chapter 7, verse 1. "Woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruits, like those who glean vintage grapes. There is no cluster to eat of the first ripe fruit which my soul desires." Mahirap unawain ito kung hindi natin naintindihan yung batas noon na tinatawag na law of gleanings. Yung law of gleanings ay sinasabi na kapag ikaw ay umaani, kapag may mga nalalaglag, huwag mo nang pulutin. Ipaubaya mo na sa mga mahihirap. Paubaya mo na sa mga nangangailangan. Pero ang sabi ni Micah rito, nung pumunta siya sa field, walang naiwan, simot na simot yung field. Ang ibig sabihin ng mga noon ay walang pakundangan itong mga umaani. Hindi nila iniisip yung mga mahihirap. Yung mga nalalaglag, sinimot pa nila. No sensitivity to the needy. And God promised or threatened that He will treat them in kind. Ang sabi niya about the northern kingdom, there will be no leftover. You did not allow leftovers on your harvest. When I deal with you, there will be no leftovers of the northern kingdom. And that's what exactly happened. The northern kingdom was lost. But you see the point, God takes into account how you treat the needy. How, sabi, maaaring siniisip na, akin naman to, ani ko naman to, pinaghirapan ko naman to, at ayaw na nilang may malaglag o yung nalalaglag pa, sinisimot pa nila. And God takes that into account. Yung hindi mo iniisip yung magagawa para sa mahirap. And again, it's a matter of plea because we are in the position of the needy in terms of God's grace, and God was gracious to us. And therefore, the right thing to do is be gracious, be generous to those who are in need. But it is also a matter of duty because we will give account to God on how we have treated people with needs. You know, the human anatomy is built to respond where there is the slightest need. One of the most wonderful of our anatomy is the lymphatic system. Alam niyo ba mga bata, kapag kayo'y nadapa at nagkasugat, agad-agad dun sa katawan natin may mga kumikilos para yung nasugatan ay agad gamutin. Ginawa ng Diyos yung katawan natin na napakaganda at talagang tumutugon ka agad kung saan may pangangailangan. And this is the deadly scourge of AIDS. The deadly scourge of AIDS is that through the HIV virus, it attacks the lymphatic system. It attacks the immune system. So that when one is infected with AIDS, he does not really die of AIDS. He dies of an infection that his lymphatic system cannot respond to because of AIDS. Well, our society has problems with its immune system. It does not respond to the needy. And that is something that you and I must examine. Dahil ginawa itong tungkulin natin, ang hamon dito sa atin, I have a sensitivity to needs. And be a counterforce to the prevailing unkindness of people. And there is something about exercising mercy that we can say can even be more demanding than that of justice. Even our text reflects this. Our text, Micah 6:8 says, do justice. But then when it comes to mercy, it says, love mercy. Gawin mo yung makatarungan, pero pagdating sa kahabagan ka lang, may pagmamahal ka. Love mercy. Where there is injustice, it challenges us to the point of provocation. And when you have enough principle, it will turn you to action. But in the face of need, there is no real provocation. It is easy to turn around and look at something else. I have on your calendar, March calendar, a quotation. Ay, sana binabasa nyo rin paminsan-minsan yung mga quotation dyan sa ating calendar. Dahil sinasaliksik ko rin yan. But the quotation on our calendar is from Henry J.M. Nouwen. He says, let us not underestimate how hard it is to be compassionate. Compassion is hard because it requires the inner disposition to go with others to the place where they are weak, vulnerable, lonely, and broken. But this is not our spontaneous response to suffering. What we desire most is to do away with suffering by fleeing from it or finding a quick cure for it. Kapag tayo raw may nakikitang pangangailangan o kahirapan, ang gusto natin ay talikuran ito o kaya yung madalian na solusyon sa halip na pumunta, samahan yung naghihirap. Well, this is again something required of us when it comes to dealing with our fellow men. And much more so of Christians in the New Testament. Colossians 3:12, therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness. So bilang mga hinirang ng Diyos, ito ang pinaparamit sa ating karakter, kahabagan. Now you see how it matches the words of Jesus in his rebuke of the scribes and Pharisees. Here, Micah was rebuking the generation of his day who were willing and ready to offer sacrifices but they forget justice and mercy. Exactly the same words Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Naghahandog sila lahat ng ikapu nila. Hindi sila pumapalya sa mga requirements ng kanilang templo. Ngunit yung mga usapin na pangkatarungan at pangkahabagan ay kanilang nilalampasan. That's exactly Micah's point. And therefore, it remains a standard for us. Sa ating pakikitungo, sa ating kapwa, ito ang hinihingi raw ng Diyos sa atin na may angking pagsusumamo at may angking pag-uutos, both a plea and a requirement. Do justice and love mercy. It is often forgotten when we think of Charles Spurgeon. We think of him as a powerful preacher, and he was. But don't forget that the Metropolitan Tabernacle of Spurgeon's day was also known and active for the orphanage. And they ministered to the many orphans of London. And the point is that the power of that ministry was not only in terms of preaching, but in terms of compassion. And put that in our individual lives. Let not the impacts of your life be merely on what you believe, but let it be on the action that is sin, injustice, and in mercy. Let both sides have a powerful bent on us in terms of a plea. This is God's plea. My people, why would you not do this when God has been good to you? But it is also a command. You ought to do this because God commands it. And with that thought, let us sing our last hymn. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone as thou wast sought. So let me seek thine erring children, lost and lone. Verse 3 says, O strengthen me that while I stand firm on the rock and strong in thee, I may stretch out a loving hand to wrestlers with the troubled sea. And the point is that while we sense our strength being in the Lord, let the strength extend a hand to others who are weak, to those who are struggling, to those who are wrestling in life. So if we really experience the Lord in our lives, let it be reflected in the way we deal with others. Let's close in prayer. Tunay nga, Panginoon, na wala kang katulad sa iyong, hindi lamang sa iyong karakter at sa iyong mga katangian, kundi maging sa uri ng pamantayan na iyong pinaiiral para sa pamumuhay ng iyong mga tagasunod. Hindi ka tulad ng mga Diyos-Diyosan, ikaw ay tunay na Diyos, there is consistency in you. And in that consistency, you require your people to a lifestyle that they must conduct in this world. And in this exhortation of Micah, we learn that we are, as God's people, be those who treat our fellow men with justice and mercy. And Father, as we live day by day, these are the two issues that will confront us regularly. The need to be respectful of what is right and to be responsive to the needs of those around us. Grant, O Lord, that we may have the discernment and wisdom when it is that the issue, that the situation requires of us to do justice, and when it is the situation requires of us to love mercy. But grant that we would be those who recognize your law. And in recognizing your law, we know what is right. And in standing for what is right, we do not have to go along with the majority. We do not even have to just follow those in authority. We can be both the most submissive, and at the same time where situations require, we can be defiant. But only because we recognize the higher standard that is above all, and that is the law of God. And Father, may you challenge us, just like the people of Micah, and just like the Pharisees and scribes whom Jesus rebuked. It is possible for us to be willing and ready to take up all church rituals and to be unfailing and flawless in what is required of us in the paraphernalia of worship. And yet, day by day, there may be issues of justice staring us that we neglect. Grant, O Lord, that we may have the sensitivity to address these issues and to learn to do justice. And at the same time, to love mercy. And you call upon us to love mercy because in a very real sense, there is something even more self-denying about being merciful when we have to go with others where they are weak, vulnerable, lonely, and broken. But this is what Jesus did for us, and may we do likewise. This comes to us both as a plea that we must do because we have been recipients and beneficiaries likewise. But it also comes to us as a command, our duty to do, our accountability to you. So grant, Lord, that we may see where there are issues of justice, where we need to be respectful of what is right, and issues of mercy, where we need to be responsive to needs around us. And in all of this, may we learn that in the strength of the Lord, we may extend a loving hand to others. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.